The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
You love your children too much not to tell them the consequences of playing in the street. That's not limiting their fun, it's extending it. The consequences of playing there is what? Pain, injury, even death. It terminates their good time here. God tells us the consequences of our decisions and our actions and our choices.
Putting God first and trusting His boundaries for our own good.
Well, I think I'm talking to the most wonderful people on the planet. I believe you are part of that remnant that God has set apart to lift Him up so high that He draws all men unto Himself because they can see Him. Welcome you to Life Today. We share life today every day, first and foremost, hopefully, with every one of you. And we just want to thank you for being the greatest expressions of God's love and life we've ever witnessed. Betty, in this most challenging time ever in our nation, in our lifetime, in 77 years of life, we see more pressure come on the whole, everything related to the freedoms that we've enjoyed. And we know God is walking us through this, and we need to be giving Him a whole lot more credit because all the good decisions made, that wisdom comes from above. And we thank God for all the health care workers, all of you that have sacrificed, all of you that have lost loved ones. We lost quite a few. At our age, a lot of people were very vulnerable. We lost some. We lost some friends that were younger to this horrible disease. Father, comfort. Comfort as only you can, the broken heart. Yes. Comfort them, God, in Jesus' name. By the way, you are a source of comfort. You literally put God's arms of love around your neighbor, around people, many of them you've never even met, many on the other side of the world. You pick up the least of these and you lift them up into the arms of God. And I want to thank you for that. Betty, did you ever think in our lifetime, in our nation, that we would ever see a time when we'd be expressing concerns about boys going in girls' restrooms, going in their locker room, in their showers? Did you ever think that we would be redefining sex? Gender? Did you think that we would see boys competing with girls in sports and calling it fair? Did you ever think that we would be redefining marriage, that we would basically be redefining sexuality? What does it do to you as the mother of three, as the grandmother of 11, the great-grandmother of 11 more, 22 grandchildren, loving your family like you do? What does it do to you to see what's going on in our nation?
You know, James, at our age, we're both 77, we could say, well, we've had a good life, we've been blessed, our family's been blessed, God has been so good to us, we've had opportunities to minister to people and to share and to help people, to feed people, to give water to those that are thirsty. And it's time for us to just sit back and let the world go. In my own heart, I can't do that because of who God has become in me personally. It's not time to retire from life. We need to step up and be counted as the soldiers of Christ, as He intends for us to be. Now, we don't go out and we don't beat up on people. We don't criticize people. We love them through God's love, but we show them a better way. It's God's way. And I think now is the time, James, that we don't just, it breaks my heart to see what's happening to our world today, and especially in our nation that's supposed to be the land of the free and the home of the brave and those that love to help people and those that love to share what they have and how God's blessed them. This is not a time for us to step back. We need to be first on our knees and ask God, what is our part in this? And if you really want Him to, He will show you. He will show you how to step up and how to reach out to those and show them what truth looks like and what love looks like and what compassion looks like, James, and what helping one another looks like.
Well, you know, at an older age, there's some things we simply can't do that we once could do. There are places now, I mean, you had a terrible injury that could have paralyzed you on the rough roads of Africa. There's some places we can't go physically. There's some things we can't do physically. We had 11 grandchildren, 11. I used to be with 11 grandkids crawling all over me from everywhere. I mean, I'm telling you, trying to keep up with all of them, getting down on the floor and playing with them, playing with all their toys. Now then, we have 11 great-grandchildren. And let me say this to you. Great-grandparents are very grateful for grandparents because great-grandparents can't do what grandparents can do. You don't bring all these kids, so don't bring one entire family over. I mean, we had, our children had, one of them had four children, another had four children, another had three children. We said, we used to take all four, all three, and all 11 of them. And if I got down on the floor now with the great-grandkids, I'd be saying, God, who's going to help me get up off the floor? I'm telling you, we can't handle it. It doesn't mean we don't love them just as much, but thank God they got grandparents because we can't handle this. There are things we can't do at an older age, but you know what I found about older people? They seem to have a wisdom to listen to God and time to listen and need to realize that you have the possibility of shaking the world with the power of God, the truth of God, the love of God. That's what those of you who watch Life Today and support the outreaches of life, you're putting God's arms of love around a broken, desperately needy world. The least of these, the most overlooked, the most downtrodden, the most hopeless, and you're giving them hope in life because of the love of God. So, Betty, I've found out because God's entrusted the oversight of all the resources of America's wealth even to the people that are 60 and over, and half that wealth of the whole nation in the hands of people 70 and over. And you know, a lot of them are saying, I am going to see that my resources go for God's kingdom purpose, God's kingdom impact. He didn't leave us here to get us out of here. He left us here to get Him in here because we want people to know Him so the kingdom He's preparing for them, they'll be in it with us. We don't want anybody lost. We want to help everybody. So when we look at why these things are happening, why is it that we're redefining marriage? Why is it that we're redefining sex? Why is it that people want to cut themselves, sever themselves, I mean, amputate body parts because they say, I'm not a boy. I'm not a girl. God have mercy. God have mercy. He wants to. And you say, well, James, how did we get to this place? And I want you to really zero in. If you ever just stopped everything you're doing and sat down, if there's any way you could just lay your hands on a Bible right quick and open it to Romans chapter 1, that powerful passage that says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because it sets Saul of Tarsus free. He was against everything godly, and he became the one who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament under the power of God's inspirations. Saul of Tarsus became Paul the Apostle. Get your Bible. I want you to open to Romans 1. Now, Betty, this is one of the most important passages that anyone can ever consider. This will tell you why we've gotten to the place we are. Now, don't miss this. Many times this passage is used simply to point an unkind, unloving, accusing finger at people who may have same-sex attraction. But you see, we have just regular sexual attraction that can become addictive. The unnatural desires are no greater than the natural desires. Any of them can easily take control. We as Christians are either going to live in control, out of control, or under control, His control. It's basically the way we all live. Well, this Romans 1 passage is used so often to just point at people who are bent, let's say, sexually toward a certain direction. But God tells us, why do you get there? Not just to where you would have same-sex attraction. We're going to look at this. Get Romans chapter 1. Get it open. And we're going to start at verse 18. But just get it open. But stay with me. You must see this progression here. You must understand how it starts. And you've got to see the end result of where it's going. Okay? Many people are saying, judgment is coming. No, judgment is already here. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all wickedness, against all ungodliness. God has told us the consequences of our sin. You can live in sinful rebellion. That's what freedom gives you the opportunity to do. But God loves you too much not to tell you the consequences. You love your children too much not to tell them the consequences of playing in the street. That's not limiting their fun, it's extending it. The consequences of playing there is what? Pain, injury, even death. It terminates their good time here. God tells us the consequences of our decisions and our actions and our choices. Okay? He says that the consequences of our sin, our wickedness, our self-serving, our self-seeking is devastating. That is His wrath revealed against the consequences of sin. He's not running around like some policeman with a club waiting to swat you. Your actions bring this judgment. Look what He says. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, not just some of it, all of it, unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in their unrighteous living. Now, I'm going to paraphrase along with this. This is expounding. This is proclaiming the gospel. This is preaching the word, okay? Proclaiming it. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident in them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, if you want to see what God looks like, you want to see His characteristics, His qualities, His attributes, just look at everything He created. I reveal myself in everything I created. All the plants are seeking light. Every leaf, every blade of grass seeking light. They're going down to be deeply rooted to do what? Draw water. I want my people to live in the light, seeking the light. I want them to be rooted and grounded in love and truth. That's how we become strong. His manifestation of Himself in everything He created is undeniable. Since creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power, His divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so you are without excuse. You can see God and His creative genius, His creative power, His hand, His magnificence in everything He made. Guys, God did good when He made woman. Whoa, man. Listen, God is the greatest. The relationship He lets us have as far as joy and ecstasy and a thrill, the sexual relationship in true intimacy is indescribable. And many people spend their whole life seeking it. And many people live in fornication and sin, and they damage their body. They hurt their ability to enjoy the greatness and blessings that God has offered us. Man, what a God we serve. And you can see. Now watch this. Even though they knew God, they could see Him. They did not honor Him as God. They didn't magnify Him as God. They didn't give thanks, but they became futile and vain in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened, and they professed themselves to be wise. We know what we're doing. We know how to take care of the people. We know how to take care of these needs. But what happens when you knew Him? You didn't do these things right. In professing yourselves to be wise, you proved to be fools. By doing what? You exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God into an image in the form of corruptible man. You start worshiping things God made, or things people created in His image made. There's not anything people created in the image of God can't accomplish for good and meaningful purpose. He's given us unbelievable ability. No bird can fly as fast as we can. I mean, my goodness, we're not traveling the speed of light yet, but boy, we're moving on. We can do anything necessary to be a blessing, but you don't put people in dependence upon anyone other than God and His wisdom and His direction, and you love one another. Now, please don't miss this. If you're going to help the poor, if you're going to help the needy, you're going to help the downtrodden, you're going to help the person that is just totally defeated or misguided, you don't throw money at them. You don't take care of all their needs without a compassion, a love connection that gives observation and oversight. You never really help anyone and assist them if you do not give them oversight, responsibility, and accountability. Look what He says in His Word. They are literally worshiping birds, four-footed animals, and crawling creatures, idols. As a result of this, God gave them over in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies might be dishonored among them. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. They worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. They no longer worship God. They no longer glorify God. they begin to focus and worship something else. They put other things before God. They may be ugly things, vile things. They may be beautiful things, magnificent beauty, but they put it before God. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. Those degrading passions are not simply same-sex attraction, but where your own desires control you. The spirit of gluttony, sugar addiction, all kinds of addictions that damage the temple of God. When we don't put God first, these things are going to take over. Then he says God gave them over in these degrading passions to extreme women, changing the natural function for that which is against nature. It's unnatural. In the same way, men abandon the natural function of the woman, burning their desire toward one another, men with men, committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the penalty of their error. They became captive. They became prisoners of it. Listen, God loves every person that says they're homosexual. God loves every person that's defeated in any area that's being held by addiction, unhealthy attraction, distraction, whatever it is. He loves you. You extend that love to people, but here's what I don't want you to miss. When these things happen, verse 28, boy, don't miss this. They did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer as the God that he is. So God gave them over not only to these out of control affections and desires and addictions, but he gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which aren't proper. Filled with unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, gossip, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boasters, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. This is what happens. Your minds aren't straight. You've got depraved thinking. And then watch where it ends up. This is unbelievable. And although they know the ordinance of God that those who practice such things are worthy of death, death to everything beautiful, death to everything meaningful, death to great relationships, death to love, death to life, death to productivity, opportunity, prosperity, the ability to bless and help others, to be blessed, to be a blessing, it's gone. They not only do the same, but they give hearty approval to those that do it. Betty, that's where you start putting it into the laws. Yes. You legislate to defend corruption. Extremes. God in heaven deliver us. You say, James, what's the answer? Put God back first. Acknowledge him as the God that he is. Say, God, I want to trust you, depend upon you. I want to bless the needy. I don't have a problem paying my taxes to do good things for others, to provide services, to meet needs, to do the impossible in love, but we want it done with oversight, with compassion, and with accountability in place so that we're not just throwing it to the wind. In other words, Betty, we become God-led, filled with God love, compassionate people, committed to his word to honor him and glorify him as God. Father, the only hope we have is in you. We know we have a kingdom you're preparing for us, but you told us here we could live as overcomers. We could live free, more than conquerors. We could be an expression of your life and people could see your kingdom in us, for your glory and your kingdom purpose. That's what we commit to. Would you say, Lord, that's what I commit to? Heal our land and use me to be an example to lead us out of darkness. Betty, I want our 22 grandchildren to have the blessings of freedom.
Yes.
I want all of our viewers to have the blessings of freedom, so that we can put God's loving arms around a world in tremendous need right now. You're going to look at some children that you're going to say, I'm going to be that child's miracle. I'm going to get God's loving arms around that child, because God put his love in you. You do acknowledge him as God. You do want to magnify him as God. You do want him to heal our land. and to restore our thinking and heal the mind so that we're not depraved, where we don't know right from wrong, night from day, good from evil. Heal our minds. He says he will. You're the remnant that will see that happen. I believe that with all my heart. I'm not going to turn God's planet over to the devil when we can point him to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And one way we do it is sharing with the least of these his love. Watch closely. You're going to be excited to do it because God's put it in your heart to do it, and I know you will.
Within the life of every child is God-given potential. We can see it in the dreams these children have for their future. Though he lives a meager life and has few possessions, Fernando dreams of moving to a city to become an architect. He'll design a school for Antonio, who dreams of becoming a teacher. He'll design a hospital for Rosa, who dreams of becoming a doctor. Who would have thought children with so little would have dreams so big? But Fernando's mother knows that his chances for realizing his dreams are slim. She knows the painful reality that his food supply is unstable at best, and during lean months, completely depleted. Already, the scarcity of food has led to the deaths of many children, and with it, their chance of a dream extinguished. The biggest obstacle for children like Fernando is simply the lack of food. Food. It's as simple as that. By helping to provide just one child like Fernando with a daily bowl of food, you'll be making a world of difference, not only for him, but for every child who is holding on to a dream.
Well, I look at those kids, and I'm telling you, I just feel like, I've embraced them and embraced them, and I didn't care about if they had some disease. I didn't care. I just loved them. And I look at them now, and I just see little children that have so much potential. Betty, I think about a little boy that didn't have a father, the product of rape. It's the reason he was born. An ad in the paper, somebody come get him, and just lived so poor. And yet God looked down, and he saw me. He said, I can use that boy. And that's what he sees. I've watched those kind of children that were right at the death's door be changed. I've watched them become leaders in their communities. I watched the country of Mozambique, the poorest nation on the planet, be turned around, and a miracle occur because of the power of the gospel and the feeding that you made possible to save millions and millions of lives. And I've watched them grow up and become teachers and professors. We've seen it all over Asia. We've seen it around the world. God's love transforms people. And we need that transforming power here right now. And I'm telling you what, when we share that, well, you talk about our prayers having a greater force, a greater power. It's like concentrated prayer is like putting the power of the Colorado River through a turbine, and it'll light up the desert with energy, electrical energy. Prayer, when we come together and concentrate it, it's like that dynamic power that lights up the world. That's what you're doing. When you today say, I want to touch those children with the love of God, they are hungry. Many of them are going to die, and they could live with a new future that love has offered them. Would you right now help us feed 3, 5, or 10 children? The missionaries have found these areas of great concern and organized them. And they say, we'll be feeding here. And the people find those havens of rest and hope. But we have to provide the food. 350,000 of them organized now. Would you feed 10 of them with a gift of $100 for the next month? 5 with a gift of 50? 3 for 30? Could you give $1,000 toward helping us rebuild the malnutrition clinics that have been destroyed? They need to be restored. God's love through us makes it happen. We have some beautiful gifts to send you to encourage you and to bless you and inspire you during these challenging times as we put God's arms of love around the people he gave his life to redeem. Please go online, go on the phone, take your bank card, make the best gift you can. If you write a check, make it to life, but call us and tell us you're putting it in the mail. Thank you for doing it.
Across the continent of Africa, children are suffering, facing severe malnutrition and even death. With food reserves gone and many areas experiencing severe famine, we urgently need to replenish supplies to keep feeding the 350,000 children who are counting on us. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 to help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. Also, please consider an extra gift to help immediately rebuild malnutrition clinics destroyed by record flooding in South Sudan. The urgent need is $392,000 above our normal feeding budget and is critical to help save the lives of those who are suffering most. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you It Is Well, Quiet Time Bundle, featuring an instrumental music CD with 12 classic hymns and a 31-day prayer booklet to help renew your soul. With your gift of $100 or more, request the No Greater Love frame print. This portrait is a reminder of our Savior's love and the price that was paid for our salvation. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Divine Servant. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Let me first say thank you so much for your loving what God is doing through this ministry and the help that you give. We couldn't do it without you. We love you. We pray for you. God loves you. You have purpose in life. It's God's purpose. Let Him show it to you. God bless you.
Betty, they ask us to be sure we approved all these hymns. And It Is Well, Quiet Time Bundle. Boy, you're going to play that. And then It Is Well, Quiet Time Bundle of 31 prayers. And I tell you, this is going to bless you. The portrait of Jesus is going to really be a blessing framed. And I hope many of you will get the Divine Servant bronze by making a special gift. Help us rebuild those malnutrition clinics. We need a miracle outpouring of love, but you can do it. God's given us together the ability to do the things He puts before us and to get His arms around the people He died to redeem. Thanks so much for being a part of it.
Oh, you can hear me cry, see my dreams all die from where you're standing on your own. It's so quiet here and I feel so
God permits what He hates to always accomplish that which He loves.
Johnny Erickson Tada, next week on Life Today. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.